Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows podcast. My name is Tyler Campbell, and today we'll be hearing a live sermon by Reverend Stephen Milton, recorded live from the Lawrence Park Church Sanctuary on a Sunday morning. Today's sermon is titled, Going Deeper.
Last week, during my sermon, we heard about Jesus speaking to Peter by the seashore and saying, "Feed my sheep." And when Jesus said that, he was clearly alluding to the idea that Jesus is our shepherd, right? And Jesus had frequently referred to himself as the good shepherd in his talks with his disciples, and he'd also told parables about lost sheep and how God is like a shepherd who will seek out the lost sheep. When I was in Rome last summer, in the Vatican Museums, there's a beautiful sculpture that depicts exactly this, and it looks like this. There's Jesus holding one of the lost sheep in his hands, and behind him, go to the next picture, we see Jesus with, can we just move the subtitles for a second? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. We see Jesus with the other sheep following him, and fortunately, they've mounted this beautiful sculpture on a boulder and put it right next to a window so you can see the Vatican Gardens behind it. So you really get this sense of Jesus being the one who looks for the lost sheep, being our shepherd, but also being a shepherd of the souls who believe in Jesus. So when we hear the Psalm 23, we can't help but be reminded of Jesus as the shepherd. However, this psalm was written between 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus of Nazareth was born. So the psalmist doesn't have Jesus in mind. So let's set Jesus aside for a moment and just try and think about the psalm the way it was originally intended to be heard. So it starts off with this sense of security that we are sheep and we're following the Lord who is our shepherd. And it's very beautiful, but then it becomes a little bit problematic because it talks about how God will not only lay us down next to clear water or, you know, still water and a green pasture, but also that we will walk through a valley of the shadow of death, and that God will even set a table before our enemies for us. Well, who wants that? You know, if someone's on your side, they don't set a table right in front of your enemies. That's a great way to get beaten up. If nothing else, it's not going to be a relaxing meal because you're going to be afraid of your enemies. So it's a strange poem if we take it at that level. And the other thing about the poem is that at the very end, it suggests that the person in the poem is going to be living in God's house for the rest of their life. And if we could just pull up that line for a moment. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. That suggests that this is someone who's saying, I will live in God's temple in Jerusalem for the rest of my life. And yet, the rest of the psalm doesn't sound like it's addressed to someone who's going to become a priest. It sounds like it's addressed to all of us, and it obviously is. So this psalm, when you look at it carefully, has all these puzzles and twists in it that don't make a whole lot of sense. Nonetheless, this is a psalm which has been used to bring comfort to people for many, many years. Soldiers in foxholes and in danger of their lives have often quoted this psalm from memory because it says, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. That's the kind of comfort you need when you're a soldier and you're in deep trouble. It's also often read at deathbeds in hospitals. I read Psalm 23 to Mark the day that he died, Mark Toews, the day that he died. It's a psalm of comfort, clearly. But it's also a psalm which is kind of strange. And I'd like to suggest today that the reason it's strange is because we hear it with modern ears, with a modern conception of what it means to be a human being. And it actually has something else in mind. We moderns like to think that our identity, our selfhood, is primarily defined by whatever's going on in our brains at the time, right? So René Descartes, right, that famous French philosopher from the 17th century, declared, I think, therefore I am. So if you want to actually know who a human being is, it's not your physical body, but rather it's the fact that you think, the fact that you are conscious. More recently, philosophers and scientists have said we should amend that to include, I feel, therefore I am. And that makes sense to us intuitively, right? You know, if I walk up to you and I say, how are you? You're probably going to say, I'm fine. You'll respond with something that has an emotional content. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? Well, frankly, I'm worried the Leafs are about to disappoint me again. It's a feeling answer that we give rather than a thinking answer, usually. However, there are times in our lives when everything is fine, but things are not fine. We may find ourselves with as much money as we ever wanted, in a good relationship. We've got the kind of housing that we wanted. Everything is going just fine. And yet, deep down inside us, there's this feeling things are not anywhere close to fine. We may feel quite torn. It may, on some days, it may be hard to get out of bed. You may find yourself getting sick with colds and flus and stuff all the time because something inside of you senses that something is not right with your life. And there's this distinct, and your conscious mind can't figure it out. I don't get it. I've got everything I wanted. I've got the good job. I've got a house. I've got a relationship. Everything's fine. I won. And yet something inside of you is not happy. So what is that? That sense that there can be a contrast, even a conflict, between our conscious mind and something else deeper inside us is well known to biblical writers. Here's a quote from Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my help and my God. See the contrast there? It's the conscious self speaking to the soul, as though the soul was a different part of us, always with us, but not the same as what's happening in our thinking mind, in our thinking feeling mind. And this is a sense which is frequently occurs, particularly in the Psalms, which are the most introspective part of the Bible in many ways. And what is the soul then? Well, the trick with getting to know the soul is that the soul doesn't speak in words. The soul doesn't say, hey, here's why I'm upset. That job is terrible, and this and this and this. That's the way your friends talk, but that's not the way your soul talks. Your soul is silent. It doesn't speak in words. It speaks, when it speaks, it usually speaks in symbols and stories. Our soul speaks to us in our dreams. You know, sometimes you'll have a recurring dream, just keeps happening and happening, and you don't understand it, right? And your conscious mind can't make heads or tails of it, but it keeps on happening. That's your soul trying to tell you something. And you may find going to a therapist will help you with that, to try and unpack what your soul's trying to tell to you. The other thing about our souls is that they are the part of us which feels most connected to the rest of the universe. The Persian poet Rumi, who wrote during the Middle Ages, said in one of his poems, the soul is here for its own joy. The soul is with you every second of the day while you're in this life, and it is observing everything that you go through, but it feels it differently than you do. When you're hiking or walking or driving, and you come around a corner, and suddenly there's this gorgeous vista, and you go, You don't have words, you don't start speaking like a poet, you don't write an essay about it, you just go, That's so beautiful. That's your soul. Your soul is the one that's going, It doesn't have any words for the experience, but it's risen to the surface. Your conscious mind is being pushed away, and your soul has peeked out and gone, because your soul is the part of you that loves connection with everything else. And this can take odd forms. Your soul, I would argue, is the part of you that doesn't mind that you watch the same kind of romantic comedies over and over and over again. You know, every romantic comedy is the same, right? Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Just minor variations on that. Sometimes it's boy meets boy, sometimes it's girl meets girl, but it's always the same thing. They come together, they go apart, and they come together again. Same thing every single time. And yet, Hollywood keeps pumping out romantic comedies, and we keep watching them because our soul loves that stuff. Our soul loves watching love stories. Now, I admit that not everybody loves love stories, not everybody's into romantic comedies. If you're into action films, if you're into Marvel movies or just straight-up action films, so many of those films are basically the same thing over and over again. Somebody wants to destroy all the connections in the world. Well, we should get together and fix that. Let's fight them, and we'll have to come together as a team, even though we have differences. And look, at the end of the movie, James Bond is in bed with the girl. The team has come together. The Expendables are talking to each other again. It's the same story over and over again. Let's destroy some stuff so we can make it come together and we can be friends at the end. We're adults. Why do we keep watching the same movie over and over again? It doesn't make any sense rationally. It's because our soul loves that stuff. Our soul feels the connection. And so if you're living at a time in your life where you feel really disconnected from the people around you, from your family, maybe from the environment, your soul will get upset about it. Your soul will be the one to protest. I would suggest today that Psalm 23 is not addressed to your conscious minds at all, but it's addressed to your soul. So to help you with this, I'm going to read it to you. And this time, just try and think of it as being addressed to your soul rather than your conscious mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I shall not lack for anything. She makes me lie down in green pastures. She leads me beside still waters. She restores my soul. She leads me in right paths for her name's sake. Watch the shift here. From she to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. That's soul talk. And you can see the transition, right? The Lord is my shepherd is the first part. And then it changes and it becomes, you will be with me. So the relationship with God, the shepherd, becomes closer. And like a dream, the imagery's all over the place. We start off as sheep, and then we're having dinner, and then we're in the temple. It's all over the place, but that's how the soul talks, because the soul, in dreams, you don't stay the same in your dream. Well, first I was Captain Kirk, and then I turned into your sister, and then I turned into me. That's what happens in dreams, right? Dreams don't care about consistency. They care about deeper meaning, because we can be many things. And this 23rd Psalm is speaking to your soul, saying, whatever happens in this life, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how scared you are, God is with you. And your soul, which senses the connections of all things, can go, yeah, I know. I know I have not been abandoned. I know that no matter what happens, God is with me and God will lead me. And it will feel as though I am living in God's house my entire life. And that's important to know, because these physical temples of ours don't last. And they don't stay the same. And they don't stay strong and healthy. But they wither away. But the eternal part of us that God has put inside us, our souls, that stays. that stays. It stays connected. It yearns for connection and a return to God. And it will always be there for you. And part of the challenge of our life, our spiritual life, is to find our way to connect to our souls so that we can connect to God. So we should remember that Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's your soul he's talking about. We all have one, Christian or not. And our challenge in life and our opportunity is to sink into our soul more often. So how do you do that? Well, our soul loves connection. That's why we get together to worship. Our soul loves connection. That's why we stand and we sing. We sing songs that are just full of imagery because our soul gets that part. And sometimes in life, you'll have an experience where maybe it was a family reunion or a trip where everything goes wrong, and yet weeks later, you get this feeling that, you know what? As much of a mess as that was, there was something good about that. I've really taken away something good. That's your soul saying, I know you didn't have a good time. I had a great time. And so if you go into the woods for a walk, walking through the park, walking through Mount Pleasant, wherever, take out the headphones. Your soul is quiet. If your conscious mind is trying to process information, you're not listening to your soul. When you meditate, embrace the silence. Give your soul a chance to speak to you. And those words that you don't make sense in terms of actual words, but which are deep and rich, can make your life worth living. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Rooster Crows podcast. We at Lawrence Park Community Church are a progressive church in North Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about the church and things that we do, check our YouTube channel, which has recordings of entire services and sermons. And for any more details, go to our website at lawrenceparkchurch.ca. As we finish this week's episode, we're going to hear our music director, Dr. Daniel Rubinov, perform Let It Be on piano as a postlude to one of our services. We hope you enjoy it.